Today on Real Life Radio.
Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. That word means change your mind and believe. What a great thing. What a tremendous statement.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, The Power of Your Influence. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul's response of how the power of our influence matters. You see, the picture we paint with our actions has the power to mold and shape other people. But if God's love influences us, well, our witness to the world will be one of love, compassion, and truth. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that God's love influences us by setting us free from religious efforts. You see, there's no value or influence in man-made traditions unless we place a value on it. Now, with his message called The Power of Your Influence, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Understanding this, that when the news came to the Corinthians or the Athenians about this one true God, that all the others are fake, that rattled their world. And I want to ask you this morning, very important. We would say, that doesn't apply to me, and God's love is bigger and God's love is brighter. Okay, so what? The illumination. But wait a minute. It is a challenge to us today because we are so often bound up by modern day idols. We go down to the dealership, we buy an idol, we drive it home, and we don't think it's an idol, but then it begins to govern how we run our lives. We begin to drive it into the driveway or into the garage, and now the garage is unworthy to house this great thing. We have to call a contractor to panel the garage and to put in special lighting and put some checker flags. And you know what I'm saying? We say, oh, that's not an idol. I'm just taking care of it. You take such great care of it that you park 4 miles away from the store and walk so nobody scratches it. I got to tell you, I'm speaking from experience right now. This week, I planted some flowers. Number one, here's what God's been speaking to me about. Jack, who made the flowers? Well, you did. I planted them. They're in the yard. I said, wow, those look good. Right? Okay, that sounds kind of, hey, Lisa, look at that. What am I doing? Honestly, I should say, Lisa, God allowed Lowe's to have these flowers that he made there. The gasoline he brought out of the earth that drove me down to Lowe's got me back. I put them in his dirt, and look how great they look under his sunshine. It's amazing. No, I'm going, hey, call our friends. Have them come look at this. Why? When people come, oh, that's beautiful. Well, thank you. What an idiot. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's wrong with us? We have a tendency to put some identity to the thing. And Paul is saying, as Christians, we know that idols have no significance. That's the point. Humans, even young Christians, have a tendency to revere the things of the world as, ooh, wow, what an influence, what a power. No, none at all. We put that power in it. That's important. You ever been to P.F. Chang's? You ever get a fortune cookie? I'm a Christian. I don't do fortune cookies. I'm a Christian too, but I open them up just for fun. Boy, you can't walk away from the table. You have to open it. There's some cosmic law. You got to do it. And so watch. We're all Christians at the table. Watch how idols and the idol thought process is prone to us. We open up the fortune cookie and we go, oh, wow, this is so stupid. You know, I met a guy last week that we start talking about it. I was there not too long ago, opened it up, and it said, you're going to go on a wonderful journey soon. And you know what I did? Hey, I am going to Washington, D.C. I'm going to the Library of Congress. Oh, my gosh. Do you see what we do with idols? We make them real. Watch this. This is scary. Deuteronomy chapter 13, Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, do not get involved in mediums, seances, spiritists, zodiac, or the horoscopes. God says they're an abomination. Why? Number one, they're not real. Number two, but the demons behind them are. The demonic world uses stuff in our physical life. So that somebody, oh, I'm a Christian, I check my horoscope every day. Do you know you're tampering with Babylonianism? It's a demonic doctrine. And, you know, talking about fortune cookies and Ouija boards and all that evil junk, you say, hey, how can a fortune cookie, it's so cute. Listen, we make it bad by esteeming it high. I would love to get into the fortune cookie company and make some fortunes. Because you know every fortune cookie you've ever opened, it says, you're going to have a wonderful day and a big journey awaits you and you're going to meet somebody very interesting. I'd like to just put a bunch in there. You're a rotten, stinking sinner. You need to repent. You need to repent and come on your face before God. Jesus loves you and you love yourself and you need the Lord and you need to cry out to him. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Wouldn't that be fun? And watch people in the restaurant. But we make the thing something. We have it in our immature heart now that we're Christians to say, wow, about this thing or the power of it. We can be enamored by that. Also this, God's love is better. Verses 5-6, God's love is better. Look what Paul says. He says, for even if there are so-called gods, I love that, make believe. They're drummed up. If people make them in heaven or on earth as their place of authority, as there are many gods and many lords, He's mocking the fact that people worship things. Yet for us, there is one God. Notice who he is. The Father of whom are all things and we for him. That means God made you for him. And this God, look, our God is one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. That is an awesome Greek statement. It means that Jesus Christ is the one who made all that there is. Jesus is the contractor of the universe and through whom we live. You gotta mark that in your Bible. You live, even the person right now who doesn't believe in God is living because Jesus Christ is allowing you to live. How cool is that? Person's cursing God. The patience of God. He's listening. God's listening to this person blaspheme him and denounce him and mock him. And God just waits. Think about that power to wait. You know how we are. If we hear something like that, we'll, that's not a virtue. That's evil. God waits and he reaches out and he's pulling them and drawing them to know him. God's love is better. He's awesome. I'm going to show you some slides right now about what the Corinthians had to put up with. That culture in that world, it permeated the entire world. And the ancient Greeks, as we look at this photo, in fact, some of you will recognize the first photo. Do you guys remember that? Many of you have been here. This is Caesarea Philippi in northern Israel. This is when, of course, the paganism of the empire was given over to Babylonian and Greek worship. And these are niches in the rocks. This is where Jesus took his disciples and asked them, who do men say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're the Messiah. Some say who? And then he asked Peter, but who do you say that I am? Remember? Peter said, you are the rock. You're the salvation. Jesus says, I tell you, that flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. When Peter announced that he was the Son of God, then Jesus came back and said, upon this rock, that truth, I will build my church, and the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail. This is the gates of hell that Jesus was referring to.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The next slide, that is it. See the temple, that great Greek architect of the ancient Roman Empire? This is that place today, that middle shot just to the right. That's the rendering of the actual shot you saw a moment ago in real life. See that big hole behind the temple? You would bring your animal worship into that area and you would offer it up and present it in that cave. Underneath that white temple, you can't see it here, is flowing the Jordan River. The headwaters of the Jordan come out of that mountain, out of that hole. And that hole was known by the Jews as the gate or gates of hell. That is very, very powerful. What went on there? Pagan worship with idols. Next slide. This is in Berlin. This is an amazing thing. By the way, this is a current battle going on between Germany and Turkey right now. This is, remember when Jesus to the church at Pergamum said, I know where you live. You live where Satan's seat is. You know, what is that? What does he mean by that? This is Satan's seat. It's a massive temple that the Germans, when they invaded that part of Asia Minor, they took back brick by brick to Germany. And they built it. And you can go to the Museum of Pergamum, and you can ascend up the steps toward the gods. And they are in, all of these guys are in an epic battle. This is over 2,000 years old, about 2,600 years old. And as you ascend up there, you go to the monument, what Jesus called the seat of Satan. It was the chief place of pagan worship. Next slide. You may, if you've ever been to Rome, you may recognize this. This is the Pantheon. Pan, Theon. Theon, God or gods. Pan, all of them combined. Paul the Apostle saw this building. When he went to Rome, he looked at this building. You're looking at it now. He looked at it then. Inside were the gods. Next slide. Next slide. You see those circles and squares. You see that? In Paul's day, all the gods were there. They're all there. If you've ever been to the Vatican, the great thing about the Vatican is they don't have any knockoffs there. Well, this is a reproduction. Okay, you can get that at Ethan Allen, but you're not going to get that here in the Vatican. This is Janus. This is not maybe Janus. Oh, this is Janus. You know who Janus is? The Greek god Janus? Janus looks back at the year, and Janus looks ahead at the year. Janus is January on our month. And Janus is also known as the two-faced god, or unable to make a decision, torn between two worlds, torn between 2 years, always looking back, always longing and wondering about the future. Next slide. You guys know who this is? This is the real guy. This is Atlas. You know how your top vertebrae on your head that holds up your neck is called Atlas because it holds up your globe. It's named after that guy. That's not a knockoff. That's him. What do you mean? Pastor Jack, what should we do? That's Atlas. I read about him in school. What do we do? You look at it. He's not real. Men make him real. That's the real statue of a god that doesn't exist. And people would worship him. I think that's it. Is there another slide or no? We got more? Oh, I'm wondering if some of you are wearing her. That's a clue. You know what god this is? She's the god of champions. Nike. See the wings? See the shoe? The logo on the shoe? See the wings? Yep. Nothing's changed, I'm telling you. That's her. That's not a knockoff. That's her. She lost her head, but she's got her wings. These we make into gods. And people literally went to practice. In Acts chapter 17, this is significant because this is what Paul would have been looking at. Acts 17, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, and we went and saw the city which was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who had happened to be there." Verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription stated to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you.'" Man, that is an evangelistic opportunity there. "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands." What a statement for the Greeks to hear. "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." Verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold, silver, or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." That word means change your mind and believe. What a great thing. What a tremendous statement. The power of influence. Point number two is this: how God's love influences me, verses 7-8. God's love influences me personally. How so? Verse 7, we learn this, that he has set me free. He has set you free from religious efforts. And this is key. Look at verse 7. "However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol." This is a young believer or an immature believer. "Until now, eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled." Mark this down. This is very critical. Legalistic Christians, Christians that live by rules and regulations, listen, don't panic yet. Christians who live by rules and regulations have a tendency to be legalistic. That is a display of spiritual immaturity. They like having a fence around them because they don't have the fence yet established in their heart. Are you with me? Little kids, you've got to build a fence around them or they'll walk into the street. When they're older, they don't walk into the street. Same mature principle in play. When a person is very, very young in the faith, they have a tendency to be very, very demanding on themselves. They have a hard time seeing the grace of God and the love of God. They see it as a weakness. And if left in the state of knowledge only, they will begin to look down at other people that they are the weaker Christian, when in reality, they are the weak Christian. Does it make sense? It's very important. So what he's announcing here is that the love of God is the ultimate influence over us. Not that we might live loose and liberated lives in a liberal sense, but actually the opposite. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and with prayer." Notice this, the idol, the meat offered to the idol, the young believer or the immature believer is offended by that. You say, well, how does that apply to my life? Watch this. The criteria is thankfulness. If I believe I can eat fish tacos every day of the week, and I do, but someone says, no, you should only eat fish on Friday. If I now know that you believe that fish should only be eaten on Friday, you're the last person I'm going to tell that I'm going to go eat fish today. It's Tuesday. Ha! Deal with it. And walk away. You guys, that's not good. Who's immature? Well, I'm being immature. No, 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 Jack, the guy that can't deal with the fish thing, he's immature. No, 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 no. Listen, he's weak. And listen, he's weak because he hasn't come to understand the love of God and the liberty that's in Jesus. Watch. If I take my liberty and I say, what a loser, I can eat every day of the week fish. When you grow up, you'll be able to be like me. Immediately, I take the truth of God, but because I applied it not in love, I just beat that guy up. I just sinned against his conscience. Now, am I going to go eat fish tacos? If that guy doesn't know about it, the answer is yes. You say, well, Jack, what if you're walking in and the guy says, man, you know what? You're my pastor and I think you should only eat fish on Friday and you offend me. You know what I should do right then and there? Listen, church, here's where it gets down to where you and I live. That's where I should say to him, because he's right there at the store. I say to him, you know what? That offends you if I go in there? Yes, it does. I think it's wrong. Then I tell you what, not only am I not going to go in there, why don't you and I walk 3 feet over to Corner Bakery and we'll have a salad together. Now watch. You'll say to me, Pastor, why should you put up with that guy's weakness? He needs to grow up. Look, you're expressing what we may be thinking and even feeling. But that comes from emotion and not spiritual sensitivity to that man's situation. That guy, listen, a real true Christian, look, if I'm really a true Christian moving and operating in love, I will not say, hey, grow up, man. God made fish. I eat fish every day. Deal with it. In fact, wait right here. And I grab a taco and eat it right in front of him. That's wrong, man. That's taking my liberty and I'm running him over. This is serious. Because what about drinking? Or what about people who smoke? What about these things? You say, oh my goodness, what about movies? What kind of movies? What about TV programs? There are some things that are completely benign. They're educational. You watch an educational program, maybe you're watching a documentary about nature or whatever. And it doesn't have any morality to it, one way or the other. But what if there's a Christian that you know that's at your house and they say, hey, you know what? I think it's wrong to own a TV. I know there's Christians in this church that say that right now. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. No, but what do you do about them? Well, you send them to some other church. You send them to the church of no TV. No. You see what happens? All of a sudden, our freedom begins to override our love for them, and we begin to impose upon them something that we're liberated in the sense that, so in fact, somebody might say, now look, I'm not encouraging this, but I've had somebody say, I told them, I said, you know what, when you come to church, it's obvious you smoke. You smell. I can smell you. Do you smoke? Yes, yes, yes. Oh, you can tell, huh? Yes. But listen, watch out when you talk to people because you might offend some people who are either A, trying to stop smoking, or they think it's flat out wrong. There's some people, so be sensitive about that. And you also need to pray, Galatians 5 verse 1, that God will set you free from that so you're not in bondage. I'm not in bondage to it. I can quit anytime I want to. As soon as I hear that, I know they can't. Be honest.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Power of Your Influence. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace, and he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness. The Gift of Forgiveness. It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And order your copy today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.